Today's daf is Chulin daf Yutes, and we will begin from the very first word on the very top line of daf Yutes Amud Aleph. But before we begin, I want to say that today's daf is being learnt Ilui Nishmas Rab Baruch ben Rab Mordechai Yehuda. So the Gemara on daf Yutes really turned its attention, and we really turn the page as far as Masechtas Chulin goes from some of the raid sugyas, mummer, kuti, chamira sakanta meisura, basar taiva when the yidden were in the midbar, roiv chazaka, to some of the more technical sugyas that relate to shchita. And what emerged from daf yutches was that there's really three shitas how exactly shchita is supposed to be done. So just a little bit of an introduction. So if somebody asks you, what makes meat kosher? So obviously there are certain animals that are non-kosher animals, such as a chazer. A pig is a non-kosher animal, and simply because of the species, it is by definition non-kosher. But at the same time, meat from a cow, for example, or from a chicken can be kosher, or it cannot be kosher. So what makes meat kosher? The short answer is, it depends on how the animal was killed. If the animal was not killed in the halachically prescribed way, the halacha is that that meat will be non-kosher. And even though the animal itself, from where the meat comes, is a kosher animal, but it's treated no different than a non-kosher animal. So if somebody would eat meat of a cow, which is a kosher animal, but the cow was not slaughtered, it wasn't killed in the prescribed way, it would be tantamount to eating basar chazer. There's no different from a loisaseh perspective. They would both be the same. If there was asra back in the day, somebody would get malchus. So the question is, what exactly is the prescribed method? What is the idea of shchita? So just a little bit of a background, and then we'll get into the three shitas. So an animal, like a human being, has two tubes that connect the mouth with some of its inner organs. One is the trachea, in Chazal terms known as the kana, which connects the mouth of the animal with the lungs of the animal. So a person, an animal, you breathe in air through your mouth, the air goes down your trachea into the lungs, and then you breathe out through the lungs. The other tube is the esophagus, which in Chazal terminology was known as the veshet. The veshet, the esophagus, connects the mouth with the digestive system. So when somebody eats, the food goes in his mouth, down this tube, the esophagus, into the stomach, the intestinal area, into the digestive system. So there are two tubes that an animal has, like a human being, again, that connect the mouth with its inner organs. The trachea, also known as the ear pipe, and the esophagus, which is also the food pipe, the food tube, simply because it connects the mouth to the digestive system. The halachic definition of shchita is, if the shoyche killed the animal by severing these two tubes, these two simonim, not the entire simon, but rather roiv of the simon, that would what be considered shchita. So there are many ways to kill an animal. You could kill an animal by sticking a knife in its stomach. You could do it by sticking it in its head. There's many different ways to do it. But from a halachic standpoint, it would have to be done specifically in this way. The animal would have to be killed by a shoychet, taking a knife, and severing these two tubes, not all of them, the majority of them. Roiv of the base simonim. What are the simonim? It's the kana and the veshet. It's the trachea and the esophagus. Stating that, it's not enough that the animal be killed by severing the trachea and the esophagus. It's important and integral that it be severed in a very specific place. And if that specific place was not where the animal was killed, that would make it that it's not a kosher shchita, and the animal would be the same non-kosher animal as if it was killed by putting a bullet through its head. So the question is, what part of the kana, what part of the veshet is necessary, is the place where the shchita has to take place? So the sugya of that chulin daf yutches and daf yutes deals with the kana, not with the veshet. It deals with the trachea, not with the esophagus. So we're not going to talk about the esophagus today. What we're going to talk about is the kana. And just as far as the background goes, I think the easiest way to do this is to read from the Sefer Temunei Chol, which was written by Rabbi Yaakov David Lach, also called Chulin Illuminated. It's page 133. So a little bit of a background. The kana, trachea, or windpipe of an animal is a long tube of flexible tissue that extends from the mouth to the lungs. In order to maintain the rigidity of this tube, it is encircled by numerous rings of cartilage in succession, one above the other. So essentially, the trachea is a tube, but it's covered by cartilage. These rings are shaped like horseshoes. which means they're open on one side. As a result, only a majority of the circumference of the tube is encased by rings of cartilage. The dorsal side, that's the side closer to the esophagus, closer to the veshet, is exposed, covered only by the ritzuas basar, a strip of tissue. The most cranial of these rings, and this is what we need, cranial meaning the ring that's closest to the head, however, is noticeably different than the rest. It is much thicker. So we're describing the cartilage that's describing the kana. It's the top of the kana. It's the one closest to the head. It's A, thicker. B, it completely envelops the circumference of the windpipe, forming a circle, not a horseshoe. Unlike the rest of the rings, which are referred to merely as rings, taba'is, this ring is labeled as hatabas, the ring, or atabas hagdoilo, the great ring. Anatomically, it is known as the cricoid cartilage, derived from krikos, K-R-I-K-O-S, the Greek word for ring. So the kana, which is what we're going to be talking about, connects the mouth and the lungs. It's also known as the trachea or the windpipe. It's covered with cartilage simply to protect it. The cartilage that covers and protects the kana doesn't encase the entire kana. It's shaped like a horseshoe. There's a little bit of tissue on the exposed side. The side that's exposed is the one facing the esophagus. Stating that at the very top, there's a much thicker piece of cartilage that most of the Gemaras have pictures of, where you could see it's A, thicker, B, it encircles the entire area. Now, continuing. At the very top of the trachea, above the tabas ha-kedoyla, is a structure called the koiva, or the helmet, known anatomically as the thyroid cartilage. It has a unique and distinct form, and many of details of its shape are used in the Gemara as landmarks for the upper limits of shechita in the trachea. Most prominent of its form is the laryngeal prominence, commonly known as the Adam's apple. This is an outward projection of the cartilage into the front of the neck. Above this point, the cartilage slopes gently back inward as it proceeds upward toward the mouth. This sloping section, I'm skipping, from its inception at the laryngeal prominence until its culmination at the roof of the thyroid cartilage is known as the shifui koiva, slant of the helmet. So essentially, right on top of the tabas hagdoila, which is the piece of cartilage that encases the entire kana, on top of that, it almost feels like it's one and the same. It's almost like an extension. You have the Adam's apple. On top of the Adam's apple, the cartilage starts slanting inwards and it goes up until the mouth. That area is called the sheep, the koiva, and the shipoya koiva. So the area that we're going to have to focus on as it relates to shechita is the tabas hagedoyla and the area on top of it. So again, the tabas hagedoyla is that one ring that's at the very top of the kana. It morphs into the koiva, which is considered a hat or a helmet. Just metaphorically speaking, that's what it looks like on top of the kana. The koiva has a prominent part, a part that protrudes. You see it through the neck of the animal. It's called the Adam's apple. On top of the Adam's apple, it slopes more inward. That area is called the shifui hakoiva. So where exactly is shechita supposed to be done? So there were three shitas on Daf Yutzas. The first shita was the shita of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. They said that shita has to be done on the tabas hagedoyla. So you can't do it on any other part of the kana, even though the kana is very long. You don't have the entire kana to do the shita. It has to be done dafka on the tabas hagedoyla. That's that big, thick piece of cartilage that encircles the entire circumference of the kana towards the top of it. It can't be beneath it. It also can't be above it. So you can't do it on the part that's called the koiva, on the part that's called the helmet. It actually has to be done on the tabas hagedoyla. There was a second shita. That was the shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, who said that no, you have up until the top of the Adam's apple. So as long as it goes until the Adam's apple, you can't do it above that. So above the Adam's apple, where it starts sloping inwards, that's called the shipui hakoiva. That's already not good. But you don't have to do a dafka on the tabas. You can do it on the tabas hagedoyla, or you can move up a little bit. You can do it up until the point of the Adam's apple. But once the Adam's apple starts sloping inwards, meaning above it, that part is not going to be okay. And the third shita that the Gemara brought was the shita of Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish was achshir bechuda de kaiva. He said you can go all the way on top. As long as you are still on the kana, you didn't touch the mouth, even if it's above that shifui hakoiva, as long as it's part of the koiva, it doesn't matter if it's on the wrong side of the Adam's apple. That too would be fine. And the Gemara said, Kari alei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, Gisa, Gisa. Rish Lakish, I think you went a little bit too far. Regardless, that's the first introduction that we need for today's daf. The second is the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah on daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Purim Achloikis, between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamin. If a Shoichet is doing Shechita, and he's doing it in the right place, meaning he's shechting it in the Tabas HaGedoyla, or in the up until the Adam's apple, or the Shifu Yaakov according to Rish Lakish, and then his knife slipped out of place for a moment. So although he got most of it right, he shechted Roiv of the Beis Simonim where he was supposed to shecht it, but a miut, a little bit of the Shechita, he got wrong. So would that be an issue? So at first glance, you would tell me, why is it an issue? L'chayr, what's the technical definition of Shechita? Roiv of Beis Simonim. So as long as you've got Roiv of Beis Simonim in the right part, why does it bother me that the knife slipped out for a moment and it cut part of the corner, by the way, in the wrong spot? At the end of the day, I got what I was supposed to get. I needed to get Roiv. Stating that, one of the five halachos l'moshe Mitzrayim, as it relates to the laws of Shechita, is Hagroma. And Hagroma says that even if you get the majority of the Shechita right, but if a minority of the Shechita ends up slipping in the wrong place, that in and of itself would be an issue. Stating that, there was a machloikis, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, as it relates to a detail in the laws of Hagrama, and we'll see more about that in today's daf. So for now, we have three Shitas of exactly where the Shechita is supposed to take place. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, and the Yud Ches Amud Aleph say it has to be on the Tabas HaGedoyla. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, the Mishnah brought a Braisa who was made, and he said that no, you have the entire koiva, as long as it's up until the Adam's apple. Once you go above that, it's a problem. But up until that point is good. And Rish Lakish was achshav b'chuda the koiva. He says, no, you can even go above the Adam's apple. The area that's called the shifuya koiva, that's going to be fine. So it says the Gemara, v'ilchasa, what's the halacha? Mishifu koiva ulamata. You can do it up until the shifu koiva. In other words, the halacha is like Rab Chanina ben Antignos. It's the middle shita. So as long as you go up until the top of the Adam's apple, that's going to be fine. Above that is a problem, but it doesn't have to mean the tabas ha-gedoyla. Says the Gemara, v'hainu the and based on the end of yesterday's daf, what that would mean is you have to make sure that you're leaving a little bit of the vocal cords on top of the area where the Shechita was done. Because the Gemara says that the vocal cords go across the Adam's apple. So if the vocal cords are going to be beneath the area of the Shechita, then that would mean that you shechted too high. So as long as you shire a little bit of the chiti, that means there's a little bit of the vocal cords that are above the makam hashchita. That's just a good way to know that you ended up getting the shchita right. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman afshe mishipa koyv ulamato. Rav Nachman was mater mishipa koyv ulamato. Like we just said, is the halacha. Rav Nachman paskin like Rav Chanina ben Antignus. Over there, Rav Chanina ben Katino, Rav Nachman, come on. Who's that like? Loik Rabbanon, v'loik Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. How could you go not like the Rabbanon and not like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda? Both of whom said in the Mishnah, we'll see more about that later, but both of them said in the Mishnah that it has to be dafka in the Tabas HaGedoyla. You can't do it above the Tabas HaGedoyla. Amalez, Rav Nachman told him, really? I'm not like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. I know loy chilek yodana, v'loy bilek yodana. So apparently, chilek and bilek, Rashi brings two pshatim with the names of people. He meant to say, I don't know names. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbana, the Chvesesh ven chilek, the Chvesesh ven bilek. I know shmaita yodana. I know a halacha. What halacha do I know? Dom Rabbi Chibar Abba, Om Rabbi Yoich, Vami lo Om Rabbi Abba Bar Zab, Dom Rabbi Chanina, Vami lo Om Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. As long as Mishipa Kaibul Mata, that in and of itself is going to be enough. So the Gemara Vayter, Mishua Ben Levi, Mugremes the Rabbanon, Kshera, the Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah had mentioned a machloikis between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chacham. What was the machloikis? It's good to see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah said, Yud Chesam and Aleph, Hashoichet Mitoicha Tabas, if somebody shechts in the Tabas HaGedoyla, which is the Mokim Shechita, according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chacham, Veshayabam Loechot, Al pnei kula shchitasoi kshera, and he left over a chut, meaning he got the entire shchita was done b'teicha tabas. Then it's going to be kosher. What would happen if the knife slipped up a little bit? Then it's going to be pasul. Why would it be pasul? That's hagroma. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda said, "Meloi chot al pnei ruba." No, it doesn't matter. As long as you get roiv of it where you're supposed to get it, it doesn't bother me if you end up slipping up a drop on top. That's going to be fine. So said Rabbi Shua ben Levi, "Mugremes the rabbana on kshel Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda." What the rabbana considered hagroma, roiv of the shechita was done properly, but a mit of the shechita was done, the knife slipped up a little bit. That was kosher according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. That was the Mishnah daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. That was yesterday's daf. Ud Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda kshel Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. And what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina considered a problem is kosher to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. What does that mean? Because even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda held that the shechita has to be done where? In the Tabas HaGdoyla. If the shechita would be done above the Tabas, let's say the entire shechita would be done above that Tabas HaGdoyla, certainly according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it would be a problem. They're just arguing if Rav, if the shechita was done in the Tabas HaGdoyla, and a meal was done above the Tabas HaGdoyla, is that Hagrama or is that not Hagrama? But what would be if the entire shechita was done above the Tabas HaGdoyla? It was done on what we call the Koiva. Then it would be a problem. Now, according to Rabbi Chanir ben Atignos, it's like a tchila to do it over there. So said Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that what the Chachamim considered to be hagrama is k'sher to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, and what Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda considered to be a problem is k'sher to Rabbi Chanir ben Atignos. Says Rabbi Pshita, it seems to be obvious. So to Gemara, it's not so posh, because Ma'adotem, I would have thought, there's a little bit of an ambiguity in Rabbi Chanir ben Atignos' Lashon and Dafyut Chesam and Beis. There would have been mocking to think that Rabbi Chanir ben Atignos was only arguing the Rabbanon. Kamash Malan, that he's not arguing with Rabbanon. What was Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos' lashon? Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos al mugremes, four lines from the top of Yud Ches Amid Beis. Again, today's daf is very much connected to yesterday's daf. Shehik Sheira, that if you're going to shecht a mugremes, it's going to be kosher. Now, what does mugremes mean? Do we mean Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda's mugremes, or do we mean the Rabbanon's mugremes? Maybe we mean the Rabbanon's mugremes. And all Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is doing is he's saying, I hold like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, but how do you know that what Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda considers mugremes would also be kosher according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos? That was Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi's chiddush. He said mugremes the Rabbanon ksheir Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, or the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda ksheir Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. I mean, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is a third shita. He's not Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. He's actually a third shita. Frank the Gemara of Emal Chinami. How do you know? Mechatesi. How do Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi know that? Maybe Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Maybe Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is not a third shita. Maybe he's a second shita. Maybe all he is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Emkain heyed aleha miboyle." In the diktuk of the brisa that the Gemara brought on Daf Yud Ches, what Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos should have said was heyed aleha, meaning the context over there is we're mentioning the Rabbanon shita of Hagrama, and then heyed Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos ala mugremes sheikshev. If Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is going on the Rabbanon's Mugremes, then you don't have to mention again, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, alam ha Mugremes. Could have just said, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, aleha. That's what we're talking about, the Rabbanon's Mugremes. From the fact that it's, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, al Mugremes, you see it's coming to be more inclusive. What it's saying is everything that we know so far as being Mugremes, whether it's the Rabbanon's Mugremes, or whether it's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda's Mugremes, the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, it's going to be okay. And the Gemara concludes again, V'hilchasa k'Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, it cannot be more clear. And the Gemara says, why? So there were so many names involved in the first 10-15 lines of the Gemara. It's because of one name, the Koy Rav Nachman Kavase. Because being there, Rav Nachman, on the top of the Amid, the second line, Rav Nachman Achshir Mishifu Koy Volumata, which is essentially Shitas Rav Chanina ben Antignos, being there, Rav Nachman was the one who said that that's the halach. It's interesting, because Rav Nachman was the guru when it came to Chesh Mishpat. Right throughout, Noshim, throughout Nezikin, really, Bava Kamu, Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, nobody could argue with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman in Dinim was the one that ruled. You see here that even in Yaira, the Gemara says, V'hilchasak Rav Chanina ben Antignos, and the reason is, the Koy Rav Nachman Kavosei. Either way, from here really, until the Mishnah, Namid Beis, the Gemara is going to be discussing less the Mokim Hashchita, but more the Machloikis between Rab Yosef, Rab Yehuda, and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. So again, in the Mishnah, there was a very important Machloikis Tanon. One of the five Halachos L'Moshe Misinai is that the shechita has to be done on the kana and the veshet, but also on the prescribed part of the kana and the veshet. We just came out, Hilchasa Krab Chanina ben Antignos, but there were other shitas in the Gemara, and it's important that the shitas that we're going to be discussing now, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, they're the Tanam and the Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches Anaf, they don't hold like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. They held that the Mokum HaShchita is Dafka the Tabas HaGedoyla. Either way, if it's outside of the Tabas HaGedoyla, it's one of the five Psuli Shchita, it's what's known as Hagrama. The Machloikis was, what would be if the Sheichet did the Shchita, the majority of the Shchita was done in the Tabas HaGedoyla, and then a minority of it, there was a miut of it that was done, lemaila. So the question is, outside of the boundaries. So the question is, would that constitute hagrama, or would it not constitute hagrama? And it would seem from the Mishnah, Daf Yuches Aleph, that's the Machlokes Tanon. According to the Tanakama, it would be hagrama. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, it would not be hagrama. Zok the Gemara on that note. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Asi, Machlokes, this Machlokes, Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, and the Chachamim, Bishashachach Shnei Shlish, the Higrim Shlish. It's talking about we're first the shoichet shechted roiv of the Beis Simanim, 2/3. That's just another way of saying roiv of the two Simanim, where it was supposed to be done. It was done in Tabas HaGadol. And then the Hagroma happened with the last shlish. It was the last third that was done out of bounds. The Rabbanan, sorry, the Rabbanan hold kulu shechit b'ita b'tabas HaGadol. The Rabbanan hold that you need to do the entire shechit in the Tabas HaGadol. And if even a miut of it is done outside of the Tabas HaGadol, that would constitute Hagrom. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Sava, Rubei Kekulai. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda says, no, we know Rubei Kekulai. So if Rubei is Kekulai, if I didn't do the last miut, it wouldn't be a problem. So why if I do the last miut outside of the lines? Should it be a problem? But what would be if it was done in a different order? The first third of the shechita was done, the hagrama. It was done not in the tabas hagdol. And then afterwards you got 2/3 in the right place. Everybody would hold its puzzle. Even why? Because what's the definition of shechita? Shechita's roiv simanim in the tabas hagdol according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda and the Chachamim. The point is that you need that the animal should lose its chiyus with a kosher shechita. And being that a kosher shechita is roiv of the Beis Simanim in the Tabas HaGadol, if 1/3 of it was done by a grama, and only the 2/3 was done not by a grama, so it comes out when the animal died, it was not yet a kosher shechita. Now it's true, later you ended up doing the other third. But the other third happened to a dead animal already. It was too late. So being that you never had a kosher shechita, so it's for that reason the halach is going to be, it's going to be possible. Meaning, even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the hagrama doesn't bother me as long as I get roiv of it right, it's only if I first got the roiv right. But if it was done afterwards, it's not going to be. So who said this? Says the Gemara, Rav Huna. So Rav Chisda told Rav Huna, Adarabba. I don't know if I agree. Lema maripcha. Maybe if I cared. Maybe machloik is a pashigim shlish v'shach shlish shlishi. Maybe the machloik says dafka with hagrama was done with a shlish and then you shechted the other 2/3. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda holds. Me did have a chatzik kanapag. Halach is, we're going to see on Amud Beis, that what would be if a thorn, let's say, or something sharp would come, it would make a little bit of a hole. It would cut a little bit, sever a little bit the kana. Not to the point where it renders it a trefa, but it would sever it a little bit. And then the sheikhet comes and he just finishes the job. He completes that tear, that hole, and he makes it into a roiv of the Beis Simanim. The halach is it would be a kosher shechita. So time of Rav Chisda, maybe Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda's halach in our Mishnah is really predicated on that. Meaning, just like you find that chatzi kana pogum is okay, so too, if the hagrama was done, now there's a difference, because the chatzi kana pogum is done in the right place. The hagrama is done in the wrong place. But still, that's Rav Chisda's suggestion. That maybe, even if that first shlish was done by hagrama, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds, that as long as you complete the job in the right place, maybe that would be enough. Now you have 2/3. Maybe now you have a kosher shechita. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are going to argue. Well, based on what we just said. Hasa makom shechita. Over there, you got it in the right place. Hachalav makom shechita. Over here, being that the first third is done by hagrama, wasn't done in the right place. Avol shachat shnei shlish, v'higrim shlish, devakol ksheir. Rav Chisda said, Rav Huna, I think it's more mistaber that if you shechted the 2/3, and then afterwards you shechted the third by grama, even the chachamim are going to be moida, that it's okay. And why is it more mashma that way? Because everybody knows the Mishnah. Rubei shel echad kamayu, when it comes to a knife, and then rubei shel shnayim is when it comes to behema. The point is, you're explaining the machlekes Rabbi Yosef reading the chachamim as if to say that chum don't hold of rubei kekulai. The chayr, if you hold of rubei kekulai, how can anybody hold that if you get 2/3 of the shechita right, you shechted roiv of the Beis Simanim, and then afterwards you did the end, which you don't even have to do by grama, that it should be possible. It's not mashma anybody argues with that, because there's halacha of rubei shalacha gemayu, there's halacha of rubei kekulai. So Rav Chisda told Rav Huna, lema maripcha, called him mar. Rav Chisda was Rav Huna's Talmud. So he said, Rebbe, I don't agree with you. I don't know if I would learn this way. I think it's more mashma. I think it's more mistaber that the machloikis is dafka, where you got the first third wrong. And the shaila is that being that the first shlish was bagrama, do we look at it as chatzi kana pogum? Do we not look at it as chatzi kana pogum? But if you got 2/3 of it right, that last mute, how could that affect you? What happened to Rubei Kekulai? I'm like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef told Rav Chisda, I don't hear the grace at me. Man labelan dahu Rubei dahasam, lav Rabbeis Rabbi Yehuda. You're telling me that it's not mashma because there's a Mishnah that says Rubei Kekulai. Maybe the Mishnah that says Rubei Kekulai is Rabbeis Rabbi Yehuda. Dilma Rabbeis Rabbi Yehuda. I'm like Abaya. So now Abaya chimed in. We have Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, we have Rav Yosef and Abaya. So Abaya said, Atu kuli Rubei dehamar Rabbeis Rabbi Yehuda ketanila. There's nothing unique about that, Rav. Rubei Kekulai is a halacha that permeates kol Torah kula. So you're going to tell me now that every time you find Rav in Shas, it's going according to Rabbi Yosef. I'm like, no, I never said that, Rabbi Yosef said. I know Rubei the Shechita Kamino. The Shemanu the Pligi. Maybe There's a machlokes whether you could say Rubei Kekuloi by Shechita. So we'll have to ask the London why Shechita should be different. But regardless, as I said to Gemara, that maybe, even though of course Rubei Kekuloi works in Kol HaTorah Kulo, maybe when it comes to Shechita, you're not going to say Rubei Kekuloi. And the Mishnah that says Rubei Kekuloi, that's going according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the Chacham don't even hold of Rubei Kekuloi. But the bottom line is, there seemed to be a machlokes between Rav Huna and the name Rav Asi and Rav Chizda, how to understand the machlokes Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chacham. According to Rav Huna, the machlokes was where you shechted 2/3, right? And then the hagroma happened. Meaning the hagroma happened after you did the kosher shechita. Over there, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds, once you get a kosher shechita with Rubei Kekula, I don't care what happens afterwards. That's why the hagroma doesn't bother me. Chum say chiddish, that the hagroma is still going to bother me. But if you would have done the hagroma first, before you had the kosher shechita, and then afterwards you would have been mashlam and gotten a kosher shechita, everybody would hold it was a problem. Rav Chizda didn't understand. Rav Chizda told Rav Huna, Lema mar ibcha. That's the first version of this discussion. The second is the same exact shakla v'tarya in the reverse. Lishna achrina amri lo, amri Rav Huna, amri Rav Asi. Rav Huna said the name Rav Asi, just the opposite. Machlekes v'shegim shlish, v'shach shnei shlish. The machlekes was where first you got it wrong. The first there was not magroma, then the shnei shlish was not properly. Rav Yisrael saw v'amid davi chatzik on a pogom. Rav Yisrael says like a chatzik on a pogom. Just like if there was something that would have made a little bit of a hole, and all you did was complete, it would be okay. So too, if the first part was done by a grandma, it doesn't bother. But I don't know. Hasa makim shchita. Chatzi kana pogum works. Because the chatzi kana was done in the right place. It was done in the tabas agdoila. But hachalav makim shchita. Avashach shnei shlish, vehigrim shlish. But if you would do the good shchita, and then after you do the agrama, divrei akol kshera, everybody would hold discussion. At the time we learned to the mission, Rubish alechad kamayu, because of before maskel, Rav Chizda. So here it's just the opposite. Rav Chizda asked the kasha, not lemabon, dahu ruba, dahasam, lav rabbeis, rehuda ketani la, dum rabbeis, rehuda ketani la. How can you bring a raya that the chach, everybody has to agree that if you did 2/3 right, it doesn't matter if there's agrama later. Because the Mishnah says Rubei Kekula. Maybe the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that holds that. And the Mishnah later is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. I'm going to call Rubei Damar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So you're going to tell me every Rubei Kekula in Shas is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? I'm going to say, no, I never said that. I know Rubei the Shechita Ka'amina. Maybe just Rubei the Shechita, the Shamanulu the Pligi, where we have here you see a machlokes. So maybe shechita for some reason is different, and it's over there. It's going to be according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, XL. Either way, two lashonos exactly what Rav Huna and Rav Chizda held respectively in terms of the beer and the machlokes. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. Again, the shaila was if roiv of the shechita was done in the proper place and a miyata of the shechita was done behagroma, it was done out of bounds. Does that impact the Shechita or does that not impact the Shechita? According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda in the Mishnah, it's going to be kosher. According to Rabbanan in the Mishnah, it's not going to be kosher. The Machlokes Amiraim was whether the Machlokes Rabbi Yosef Yehuda the Chamin was Dafka, where first the Shechita was done properly, you got Roiv the Beis Yimadim, and then afterwards there was a Hagrama. The Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, being that I got it right, so I don't care what happens later. It's a kosher shechita already. After a kosher shechita, you can't make the carbon, you can't make the animal a problem. You can't make the shechita bus. Chacham say, no, I don't care that you did a kosher shechita. At the end of the day, you have to finish the job, and if something happens in that little miyat, which you're right, you technically didn't have to do, it's still going to be agrama. Or no, maybe fakir. Maybe the machlokes is dafka, where you messed up in the beginning. What then is the machlokes? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda looks at it as chatzik kana pogam, just like it's a concept of a chatzik kana pogam. All you need to do is finish the job. The miyot that was done by Hagrama is looked at as, even though it's not in the right place, at first glance, what does one have to do with the other? The Chum say, no, Chatzi Kana Pogam works where the Chatzi Kana Pgam is in the Makom HaShechita. It's in the Tabas HaGdoila, but if it's done above, it's done not in the Makom HaShechita, it's not going to be okay. But the obvious question from a Lumbus perspective is at the end of the day, the Gemara is definitely entertaining a possibility that everybody holds Rubei Kekulai, but at the same time, it would be worse to do the last miut, what the Achrenim refer to, and the Rishonim refer to as the miut basra, to do that last miut, which you don't necessarily have to do, behagroma, rather than not do it at all. Meaning, there's definitely a tzad in this sugya, just to take out something concrete from this sugya. There's definitely a tzad in this sugya right here, that the definition of a legal shechita is roiv of the beis imanim. So if all you did was roiv of the beis imanim and then you went home, you could eat from the animal. But if you did roiv of the beis imanim and then the last little bit that you didn't have to do, you did, but behagrama, now the halacha Moshav Sinai is going to tell you, you tripped up in hagrama, it's going to be possible. And from a lumdus standpoint, it's tzarech bir rav. What's the pshat? If I didn't have to do it, then how could me doing it behagrama make it worse? And the Mahalach that the Achronim say, the Beis Halevi, and others say as well, and it's really more negay the suyas in the Lamids that we'll get to in a few weeks, but just to be mavar the sugya a little bit, is how does Rubei Kekulei work? Is the definition of Rubei Kekulei all I need to do is Roiv? Or is the taitch of Rubei Kekulei that when I have Roiv, it's as if I did all of it? Zok to Beis Halevi, l'chayr shteit on that sugya, that the way Rubei Kekulei works is that when I shecht Roiv of the Beis Simanim, what we see is shchitas, not Roiv of the Beis Simanim, but shchit of all the Simanim. I see Kulei, I don't see Rubei. Rubei Kekulei tells me that I could see up. Right, that's the way to say it. I could see up Kulei. I don't see Rubei. I see Kulei. I see Kulei over here. If that's the case, if all I did was Roiv, I didn't do Kulei. So then I can use my imagination. And I could say, oh, I shechted Roiv of it in the Tabas HaGdoilo. Rubei Kekulei, it says I shechted all of it in the Tabas HaGdoilo. I would end up with a Kashur Shechita. However, if I went ahead and I actually shechted Kulois, I can't use my imagination anymore. Right? Now we have reality that we have to look at. And I didn't get that last miyot in the Tabas HaGdoilo. I did the last miyot by Grama. Maybe it's going to be possible. If Rubei Kekulei is the taich, all I need is Roiv, I don't need Kulei, then you're right. Daum minei the HaGrama. Why should it be any worse than if I didn't do it at all? If I didn't do it at all, it would be kosher. So HaGrama should also be kosher. How could that passle if I didn't have to do it in the first place? But if Rubei Kekulei is the pshat that I see Kulei, that I'm allowed to use my imagination and see Kulei despite the fact that I only have Rubei, I can only use my imagination, I can do it. But if I did it, then I'm muchrich to work with the facts that I have in front of me. And the facts that I have in front of me is that I didn't get it all in the right place. Memela, it's going to be possible. Really, where this comes up is the Rishonim discuss, and again, this is sugyas later, but what if I had another psal in that Miyat Basra? I mean, our Gemara is discussing when the Miyat Basra was done by Hagrama. What if the Miyat Basra was done by Hadrasa? What if it was done by Shia, right? There's five halachas l'moshe misinai that permeate the laws of Shechita. What if it was one of the other psulim? So it's a sugya later, machliks rishonim, etc., etc. But again, just to speak out one ha'ara as we go through this gemara. Right, higrim shlish. What would be if the first third of the Shechita was done by Hagrama? The shachat shlish, and then the second third was done properly. It was a good Shechita. The higrim shlish, and then the third third was done again by Hagrama. So what would you say? It's for sure possible, sure. Right? Two-thirds of it were a problem. Sakti Gemara, Rav Huna Amar Rav. This is the same Rav Huna, right? Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Ksheira. It's going to be kosher. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Trefa. Rav Huna Amar Rav, Ksheira. Rav Huna said kosher. You know why? Ki nafka chiyusa b'shchita ka nafka. Because what caused the animal to die? It was the second shlish. That's what made it roiv. That's what made it two-thirds. That was done properly. That was done b'shchita. Being that nafka chiyusa b'shchita, Rav Huna holds, that's the determining factor. Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said treifa. Why? Be'inon ruba b'shchita v'leka. At the end of the day, you don't have two-thirds b'shchita. Being there of two-thirds b'shchita, it's going to be a problem. Let's talk to you about another case. What would be if shachat shlish, you shechted a third properly, the higrim shlish, the shachat shlish. So in this case, you got two-thirds of it right, but when it was nafka chiyusa, it was behagrama. So to Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said sheira. It's going to be kosher. This is Rav Yehuda l'shitase, right? Rav Yehuda said if 2/3 of it were done by grama, it's going to be possible. Here 2/3 of it were done by shchita, it's going to be kosher. Rav Yehuda doesn't care how it dies, what the makabe pata is. Rav Yehuda is looking at the 2/3, right? Also, shalut Rav Huna. They brought the shalut to Rav Huna. Amalu treifa, and Rav Huna said treifa. So the Gemara says shom Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda heard that Rav Huna paskin treifa ikbit. He got very upset. Amar, he came to Rav Huna and he told him tarif. No, what I said is treif. Machsha, you said is kosher. Umacharna, what I said is kosher. Tarif, you're saying is treif. Why are you going fakared for me? So the Gemara says Rav Huna heard this. Amar Rav Huna. He said, you know something? Rav Yehuda, Shaper ka mikbit. He's right for being upset. He's saying very good. And he said two reasons. Chada, number one, the iu shmili minei de Rav, v'anolei shmili. He's heard it directly from Rav. Even though the Gemara says Rav Huda said in the name of Rav, but apparently Rav Huda didn't hear it directly from Rav. So Rav Yehuda heard it directly from Rav. So being that he heard it. Oh, one second. I hear. Oh, very good. Excellent. Zokti Gemara, v'anolei shmili. The second case. Very good. V'oid. And number two, ha'ikaruba b'shchita. He said, not just that. Over here you have ruba b'shchita. So if you have ruba b'shchita, you should be cautious. Zokti Gemara, there's a lot of drama in this stuff. Amali Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda went and he told Rav Huna, loita haderbach. Don't be so despoiled with what Rav Yehuda told you. Why are you being chayzer? And he said, not just that. If you're going to be chayzer now, im kem afsados leila kamaisa, then you're going to lose your first halacha. Because hasa, my time of kamachsher is, what was the whole point of your first first halacha, the kinafka chiyusa bechsherek anafka. It was all based on, what did Rav Huna say? Huna said an amazing chiddush. Hagrama, shchita hagrama. Two-thirds were about hagrama, he said it was kosher. Why did he say it was kosher? Because kinafka chiyusa bechsherek kanafka. If that's the case, then it has to work in the reverse as well. Hachinami, kinafka chiyusa bagrama kanafka. So if it was shchita hagrama, shchita, it shouldn't be okay. So even though you have two reasons, maybe, number one, Rav Huna, Shkoich for pointing that out. Didn't hear that from Rav. And number two, the rov of it was done b'shchita. But at the end of the day, if the way you're supposed to look at it, if the determining factor is not the rov, but the determining factor is what exactly caused it to die. Ki nafke chiyusa. Was it a shchita in the tabas hagdoyla? Or was it done l'mayla or l'mata? It was done by hagrama. Then at the end of the day, the halacha has to be that it should be kosher. Now Rashi asks the obvious kash of it. Rashi's an omid beis. Dibra maskel hochinami. Three lines from the top. Rashi says, what's going on? How do you reconcile these two ravunas? We had a ravuna on omid aleph, where ravuna was discussing that even if two-thirds of the shechita were done kosher, if there was a hagrama later, according to the Chachamim, it's going to be a problem. And even according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara had a tzak to say that if you would do the shlish behagrama and then two-thirds were done kosher, it would be a problem. Even though, ki nafke chiyusa b'shechita nafke. And over here you have Rav Huna, where Rav Huna said what? That I don't care about one-third, two-thirds, it doesn't interest me the thirds. What interests me is what was the makab about this? So you can have two-thirds b'hagrama, as long as the middle third was done b'shechita, and nafke chiyusa b'shechita kanafke, that would be enough for it to be kosher. So Frank Rashi, you have a whole, with two sugis that associate themselves, okay, no. Machalik is Amayram, right? The problem is you can't say it's Machalik is Amayram because they're both Rav Huna. You had Rav Huna, two Lashonis and Rav Huna, and then you have Rav Huna. So Rashi says, the truth is, the first Rav Huna was Amar Rav Asi, and he is Rav Huna Amar Rav. But if you look at Rashi, that's not Rashi's real teretz. Rashi does say that. But that doesn't seem to be Rashi's real teretz, and the way that Achrenim explained Rashi is, where Rashi's, the punchline, right? It's a little sauce in Rashi. But the punchline Rashi is something else. You know what Rashi says? That the first Rav Huna, the two Lashonis, with Rav Huna and Rav Chizna and Rav Yosef and Abaya, that whole drama was all in the Mishnah. How to understand the Machloikis, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. This Rav Huna wasn't going in Rav Yosef and the Chachamim. It was going in Rav Chanina ben Antigdos. And says Rashi, the way that Achrenim explained Rashi, a tremendous chiddush. And that is that Rav Chanina ben Antigdos was Mekel when it came to Shechita. What was his Kula? His Kula was that you don't have to do the Shechita Dafka in the Tabas HaGadoyla, but you can move it up until the Adam's apple, right? As long as it's still on the koiva, it's not on the sheep for your koiva, that's enough to do a kasher shechita. Pasha b'chanim antiknos is mekel when it comes to the makim hashechita. Says Rashi that I believe that the way you answer the steer in Rav Huna, as Rav Huna must have held, Rav Chanina ben Antiknos held another kula in shechita. And that is as it relates to the laws of hagrama. According to Rav Chanina ben Antiknos, as long as kinafik chiyusa behechshera kanafka, that would be enough to say that you have a kosher shechita. And even if two-thirds were done by hagrama, it doesn't bother me. And Achinami, when it came to Rav Huna explaining the machlokes, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, who hold that the shechita has to be done dafka in the Tabas HaGadoyla, they have a much more limited definition of what exactly the makom hashechita is, likten dem noch hachumra. And that is that you need to have for sure two-thirds of a kasher shechita. And thus, the two l'shoynes of Rav Huna, Rubik Kakulai, when exactly a little bit of agrama is okay. But again, that's all in Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. As it relates to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, we have a much looser definition of the makom hashechita. We also have a much looser definition of what agrama means. You could have two-thirds by agrama, the behem is still going to be kosher. As long as kinofik chiyusa, behechshero kanafka, that would be enough for the animal to be kosher. But more along this theme, iklu Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman once happened to be in Surah. Boom, they came to Rav Nachman and they asked him, again, not a chushamish b'chayla. They asked him a shayla in Yaira Yaira. They said, shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish mahu. Says the Gemara, the case that we're discussing, Amalehu. So he told him, Lav Hainu Rabbi Lazar ben Minyumi. So he came from a whole other angle. He said, I think this is Rabbi Lazar ben Minyumi. Amar Rabbi Lazar bar Minyumi, shchita asuya kimasreg. If you have a shchita and it looks like teeth, meaning it's like a little wavy, the halacha is ksheir, it's going to be kosher. So Rabbi Nachman says, that's probably what he meant. Probably what he meant was that part of it was done by hagrama. It was shchita. The shchita was done. The first third was done in the Tabas HaGadoyla, and then you have a little tier that goes up. It's done by Hagroma, and then you have another tier on the bottom. So it's Asuya Kemasreik. You have like these little edges. It looks like teeth. It's probably what he meant. But the Gemara says, how do you know Rav Nachman? That's what he meant. But don't Makam Shchita. Maybe he meant if it's Asuya Kemasreik, all within the Makam Shchita. within the Tabas HaGdoyla, market the Islay market. Maybe that's what he meant this kasha. So the Gemara says, "Welcome Shchita Ma'ila Meimra." I don't think that's a chiddush. The Gemara says, "No, I'll tell you why it's a chiddush." Maud Tei Ma'ura Tobin Shchita Mefuras Veleka. Maybe the Shchita has to be completely exposed. Meaning you have to be able to look at the Makam HaShchita and see the Shchita, and to the extent that it's a little wavy, so you may not be able to notice just from a cursory glance that it's shachat. So maybe that's a psul, right? Just like the word priya comes from mila and priya. So mila is to remove the foreskin, and then there's priya, which is exposing the area. So it should look, you should look mahal, right? So it's the same concept. Maybe masrik is maybe a vada we're talking about b'makom hashchita, and still there's a chiddush that asuya kemasrik is good, because if it's asuya kemasrik, it's not mifuras. So you would have thought that that's a so kamash malam, but I don't think you have a raya from Rabbi Elazar bar Menuhmi to this halacha where shachat shlish, the higrim shlish, and again the shachat shlish that it's going to be kasha. Another story. Yosef Rab Abba Achayre de Rav Kahana. The Yosef Rav Kahana kamed Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was giving shir. Rav Kahana was in front of him, and Rav Abba was behind Rav Kahana. The Yosef v'kamar shachat shlish, the higrim shlish, the shachat shlish ma'u. Amalesi, he told him shchitasik shir. He asked him another question. Higrim shlish, the shachat shlish, the higrim shlish. What in the reverse? Right, these were the two cases that Rav Huna discussed on Amud Aleph, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So first higrim, then shachat, then higrim. Amalei told him shchitasai psula. Shachat b'makom nekev ma'u. What if you did shchita in the makom of the nekev? So what happens if there was a little hole in the kana, a hole that does not render the animal a treifa, and then the sheikh just went and he finished the job? So we had this on Amud Aleph. That was the chatzi kana pogum that was featured prominently on Amud Aleph. So he told him shchita zik sheira. It's going to be kosher. Shachat upaga by nekev ma'u. What if the sheikh started doing the shchita and then all of a sudden thorn, something comes and it finishes the job? So the Gemara says, "Azal Rab Abba Amr Kamei Rab Elazar." Rab Abba went, he told this Rab Elazar. "Azal Rab Elazar Amr Kamei Rab Yochanan." So he told him, "Maishna, I don't understand the difference between the last two cases. What were the last two cases? If there was a nekev and the sheikh just completed the nekev, then it's going to be okay. If he started the shechita and then the nekev completed it, then it's not going to be okay." So Amalei, so he told him, "It's very simple. I'll tell you the difference. Shachat b'makom nekev nasa kamisha shachat over kechavim v'gam yisrael. If you were shachat b'makom nekev, we look at the nekev that just happens to be there as if a guy was the one that did the shechita. A yid finished the job. If a guy does the shechita, yid finishes, it's kosher. Shachat upaga by nekev, however, if you did the shechita first and then the nekev came, then it's nasikim yishachat yisrael v'goyim v'gechavim. Then it's as if the guy finished it. The guy finished it, it's going to be a problem." In other words, he was equating a nekev to an ovid kechavim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan heard this. Kari Aleh, he told him, ovid kechavim, ovid kechavim. Shegetz, shegetz. What do you mean to say? So Rashi says, don't think what he meant to do was call him a shegetz. Chas v'shalom, he would have never done that. But rather, what he meant to say was, you can tell me the word ayvi kechavim all day long. But that's not going to be the explanation. He said, why not? He said, a lumbus. Amarava, shampin kari alavi kechavim, kechavim. I'll explain to you Rabbi Yochanan's lumbus. Because bishleim ahasam, bishleim over the medahavale the Yisrael, mishchat ruba, v'loi shachat kinaf kechivus b'yad avi kechavim konafka. If a yid starts the shechita, and then a guy finishes the shechita, so then it's a problem, because the yid is the one that's supposed to be finishing it. A guy should not be finished. Elahacha, but over here, mechti. Mishchat shachit. Over here, the sheikhe did the shechita. Mali b'makam nekev, mali paga by nekev. He says, if a guy finishes the shechita, it's a problem. If, however, there's a nekev, whether the nekev finishes the shechita or the nekev was there before, there it's not going to be a problem. What's the beer in Rava? The beer is that there's a fundamental difference between a kana that has a nekev versus a kana where a guy did the shechita. A kana with a guy did the shechita, the kana is the entire kana. So when you go, when the sheikh looks at the kana, he says, I know I have to shech the majority of this. Okay, the majority of what? The entire kana. Now, a yid did part of it, a guy did part of it, so you have to take the guy into consideration. And if the guy is the one who finishes the right, he's the one that finishes the job. We look at it as shechitas akum, which we know from the first part of the Masechta, is certainly a problem. If, however, it had a nekev, then the way you look at it is that the chelik that has a nekev is not there. The kana is the balance of what's remaining. So, v'chura, what's the difference if I started shechting with a chatzi kana pagum, where all I have is what's remaining, so as long as I finish the job, it's okay, or if the chatzi kana pagum came later? So Zayne came later. Once it comes, it's a Gloy Milsa that whatever I shechted was the Kana. At the end of the day, I should have a Kosher Shechita. Thus, Rabbi Yochanan said, Maishna, I don't understand the difference. What's the difference if the Chatzi Kana Pogam was there before or if the Chatzi Kana Pogam came after? But Rabbi Kechavim, I understand it. Shapir says the Gemara, Kari Leo, Rabbi Kechavim, because of a fundamental difference between a Kana that has a Miktsas Shechita that was done Al Yidei and Rabbi Kechavim versus a Kana that has a Miktsas Shechita that was done Al Yidei, a Kana exhale. So before we go right there and we start the Mishnah, which is going to digress, believe it or not, from the sugyas of Shechita to sugyas of Malika. So we're going to go back to Masechta Zvachim. But before we do that, just one ha'ara. There's a very interesting Marumakim, the Teres Chaim, in the end of Perek Chelik, that all the Achrenim quote, who explains the Gemara that we just learned, specifically Shitas Rafuna. And behek them as follows. We know that a nevela, you're not allowed to eat. An animal that has a kosher shechita, you're allowed to eat. Another difference between a nevela and a shechuta is that a nevela is tameh. Tumas nevela. It's metame b'maga u'b'masa. Whereas an animal that has a kosher shechita obviously is not tameh. And the Teres Chaim, in a more agadic type piece, discusses why is it that a nevela is tameh, Tumas Nevela, and a Shechuta is not Tameh. And he says something beautiful. He says as follows. He says that the reason a Nevela is Tameh is because Misa happens Al Yidei the Sitra Achra, or also known as the Malach HaMavis. And the Malach HaMavis is the one that creates Misa. And being that the Malach HaMavis creates Misa, it comes from the Sitra Achra, the Koyach HaTumah. That's why after something dies, this Tumah. That's why when a person dies, it becomes Tumah Tumas Meis. It says the Teres Chaim, that's why after an animal dies, he becomes Tumah Tumas Nevela as well. And says the Teres Chaim, you're going to tell me a Malach HaMavis with a behemoth? We know the Malach HaMavis kills people, but an animal dies with a Malach HaMavis? So he says it's the Mefurish Gemara. Where's the Gemara? Gevaldik, Perek Amafke, Bob Metzia, Daf Lamed Vav, in the Sugyot Chilasim of Shia, the Seif of Bainas, Malach HaMavis, Mali Yacha, Mali Yacha, Pasha, you learn, it's just a figure of speech, right? But says the Teres Chaim, it's before Gemara. The Gemara says, Malach HaMavis, Mali Yacha, Mali Yacha. So you see, the Malach HaMavis gets involved when it comes to Behemoth as well. And it's because the Malach HaMavis comes from the Sitra Achra, the Ruach HaTumah, it's for that reason, Lashon HaTeres Chaim, that's why the halacha is that when a person dies, he's tummy Tumas Meis, and that's why when an animal dies, he becomes Tomei Tumas Nevela as well. Says the Teres Chaim. V'lochein tziva hakosuv lishchoit behema chayv oif. And it's for that reason, says the Teres Chaim, the Torah said that you're supposed to shech the chayv oif. K'tei sh'teitzei nishmasan b'mitzvah shchita. So that when an animal dies, it's going to die with the mitzvah of shchita. V'loy al yudei malach hamavas. Why? Because once the shechita is done properly, the mitzvah Hashem ain la malach hamavas chelok biyetzias nishmasa. Ki mitzvah Hashem tahirois ukedushois ula olam hatuma bayrachas minach kedusha. The kach kosav arav Rav Menachem Rekanti beparshas Re. Hafluafel. So says the Teres Chaim. You want to know why a shechita doesn't have tuma? Because tuma comes from the malach hamavas. It comes from the sitra achra. It comes from the koyach hatuma. There's no malach hamavas, no koyach hatuma. It can't be shayra when you're doing a mitzvah because the malach hamavis is bireach min hakedusha, and as a result it has no makom over there. So when you shecht an animal, how's the animal dying? It's not dying through the malach hamavis. It's not dying through the malach hamavis. Memel is not going to be tumas nevela. The Teres Chaim continues and he says v'zeh tam tumas hameis the malach hamavis. That's why Chazal say that when a tzaddik dies there's no tumas meis. And he brings one maromakom for this, a maromakom that we've spoken about so many times, and that is toisus masechtes ksubis daf kuf gimel amud beis. The Gemara said v'shemeis Rebbe batal kedusha. When Rebbe died there was no Kedusha, no Pasha, you learn that Rebbe was so Kaddish, Rabbeinu HaKaddish, so the Shemais Rebbe, but last Ramban in Parshas Vayichi, the very last Ramban in Sefer Bereishis talks about this by Richos, the Shemais Rebbe, but Kedusha, says Toisvis, B'Shem Reb Chaim HaKoyin, a different shot, that what it means is the Shemais Rebbe, but Kedusha Skuhuna, because even though we know a Koyin is not allowed to be metamet to a maze, but the Kayhanim were all metamet to Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, the reason they were metamet him is because he was a tzaddik, and there was no tumah. Reb Chaim HaKoyin famously said, Il Moli HaYisi Kishenifta Rabbe. He said, had I been around, Rabbeinu Tam was Nifta Yisi Mitamaloi. I would have acted upon my psak. That when a tzad Tzadik dies, and Rabbi Yudah Nasi, he shtel the tzut Rabbeinu Tam, batla kedusha. There's no kedusha, meaning there's no kedushas kahuna. He's allowed to be metamet to the mace. Why is he allowed to be metamet to the mace? Says the Teres Chaim, because the tzadik dies with misas neshika. And being that he dies with misas neshika, the Malach HaMavis has no shlita. And if the Malach HaMavis has no shlita, it's for that reason you don't have to worry about it. So I was just thinking one ha'ara. I saw Amal, a beautiful. Because the Sheikh is taking the Sheikh is taking away his business. Tremendous. Off the charts. So say, oh, my aura is not as good as that one. But just one, no, just one aura, and that is I saw in the safer. Oh, well, yeah. I just saw. Just one ha'ar that is that I saw a ha'ar in the Chavatzel Sashar, and he brings a kasha that he heard from his Rebbe. He says, "Moiri v'Rebbe Hagoyin Ramosha Shapiro Shlita." Today, of course, it's Ramosha Shapiro, a Chassadik the Kaddish Lavracha. So he said he heard a Moiri dig a kasha from his Rebbe Ramosha Shapiro. How was Avram going to execute the Aketa? Avram was going to shecht Yitzchak. As soon as he was going to shecht Yitzchak, Yitzchak was going to become Tomei Tomas Meis. You can't be makriv v'dover Tomei on the Mizbeach. Half of a fell. We always ask the kasha, how was Avram able to do the Akedah? As soon as Avram was going to kill Yitzchak, he was going to become an Oinid. So for that, he was a Kohen Gadol, it was Yom Kippur, we have all the raid. But maybe it wasn't his son, we spoke last week with the Chassam Soy. But the point is that a Dover Chadosh, beautiful question. How was Avram able to bring the Akedah? L'chair, as soon as he was going to shecht Yitzchak, Yitzchak was going to become Tomei. He was going to become Tomei Tomas Meis. Said Rabbi Shapiro, so you're going to tell me, what do you mean? Shechita is always Moitzim Yidei Nevela. So if Shechita is Moitzim Yidei Nevela, l'chair, the Shechita of Yitzchak should be Moitzim Yidei Tomas Meis as well. But he says, l'chair, this that Shechita is Moitzim Yidei Nevela, that's a Xeris HaKasav. That's a din that the Torah said that if you shecht an animal, there's no Tomas Nevela. There's no such Hilchason when it comes to Shechitas Adam that there's no Tomas Meis. So Mehecha Tesi, it's a real leap of faith to say that just because Shechitas Behemus is Moitzim Yidei Tomas Nevela, that Shechitas Adam should be Moitzim Yidei Tomas Meis as well. A festakasha. He says that he found the kasha later in the Sefer Masil Melech. He brings up a shame to Yavin Shmu, and he has a whole pilpul different pshatim. But this Teres Chaim is such an obvious sushtel. Teres Chaim is saying that the Le'olam, the Tumah, and the Malach HaMavis is by Reach min HaMitzvah. So L'chayra, if the Teres Chaim is gerecht, that when somebody shechts chulin, there's no Malach HaMavis, although the Malach HaMavis usually kills the behemoth, like the Gemara says, the Berakam after Malach HaMavis, Maliyacha, Maliyasa. But when it comes to Shechita Schum, because of the mitzvah of Shechita, the Malach HaMavis runs away. So Kal V'chaymer, Ben Benoishel, Kal V'chaymer, the Shechita of Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, the Akedah, this was the mitzvah of all time, where the Satan was trying to be Mekatrik so much, but at the end of the day, the Tumah had no choice but to be Bayreach from such a mitzvah. If that's the case, there's no Malach HaMavis. If there's no Malach HaMavis, then l'chair, there's no Tumas Meis. If there's no Tumas Meis, I think it's Meyushev Kimin Chaymer, that Kasha. Either way, just a little bit more. Yes, up to Mishnah. Hashoich. Let's make it a little bit more right better. So just on the topic of the Akedah, two more Aris as it relates to the Akedah. You got me in Chaganya mode here. So on the topic of the Akedah, just two more Aris. The first is an Aris that I heard last week from Yitzi Fuchs. And that is, we mentioned last week that by the Akedah, so Hashem tells Avram, Al tishlach yotcha el hanar, va'al tasloy bu'uma. So we said that, why did Avram, what was that tasloy bu'uma? Because Avram Avinu wanted, even though he wasn't allowed to kill Yitzchak, but at the very least, let him make a little hole in the tzavra of Yitzchak, a little bit, epes ha-shchita, he wanted to do something. So we spoke at an unbelievable pshat, v'ru'uyin hadvar, v'lishon from the Chassam Sefer, where the Chassam Sefer says, because when Avram was makdish Yitzchak got Kedushas Oila. And an Oila has no pidyon unless it has a mum. So Avram Avinu wanted to give Yitzchak a mum so he can get Yitzchak back. He wanted him to be his son again. And that's what Hashem told him. Al tishlach yotcha v'alana v'al tasle me'uma. Yitzchak's an oila, and Yitzchak's going to be an oila forever. And that's what the Chassam Sofer says. It was in the Soyin al-Gabi, in the Soyin. That's why twice in the parish of the Akedah, Hashem tells Avram, lo'ichasachta es binchas yechitcha, because Avram gave up Yitzchak twice. He was prepared to give him up when it came to actually shechting him with the Akedah, and then a second time by Va'altasloy Mu'uma, by him not being able to be poydim and taking me back. So Yitzi told me that he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Simcha Sheps, who said a beautiful thing. He said, why did Avraham Avinu want to make that little? He says, because we know the Gemara says in Brachas Tafyur Amid Aleph, that afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavore shal adam, al yimna asmim en arachamim. That a yid knows that even if there's a cherev chadam that's literally al tzavore shal adam, I mean, these are the sugis we're learning now, it's literally al tzavore shal adam, it doesn't matter. Al yimna matzim en arachamim, al tisyayish. He still has to have hope that maybe the Yeshua is going to come. Avraham Avinu was maisa of a similar bonim. Everything Avraham Avinu did was a microcosm for how things would play themselves out for Klai Yisrael. What Avraham Avinu wanted was, he wanted to cut Yitzchak just a little bit. Let him start bleeding. And he knew that he wasn't going to shech Yitzchak because he was already told, Atishlach Yod Chal Anar. But you know what would come from there? It would be establish a maisa of a similar banim. That even if the cherev chad is not munachas al tzavar, it's already there. It's bit tzavar shel adam. The person is bleeding. Al tisyash min arachamim. Still there's hope. Atishlach Yod Chal Anar. And that's what he wanted to establish. He wanted a little bit, just that there should be a maisa of a similar banim. That yidin l'dairis, that bleeding, it's already past the cherev chad of munachas al tzavar shel adam. But still a yid should feel altis yaish. That's the first hour. The second hour I heard from my brother-in-law Yaakov Mel, who told me b'shem Rab Leib Gerelik. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Tzav where the Medrash Tanchuma discusses Avraham Avinu. So he comes to do the Akedah. So says the Medrash, Vayikach es amacheles. He picked up the knife. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, you see from here, that Avraham Avinu was boydek the sakin. Unbelievable. Says he was boydek the sakin. Count the amount of lech. Hashoiv oisio, says the Medrash, from Vayikach, of Vayikach HaSamacheles, Vetimotze Yud Beis, you're going to see that there's 12 letters. Keminyan ha-bedika isha oisim le-sakin. It's the amount of bedikas that you do for the sakin. Abisra va-tufra va-tlas ruchscha. And then the Medrash goes on to say that it's because of the fact, you hear this? Because of the fact that Avraham Avinu was boydik the sakin, that's why everything played itself out the way it played itself out. Say, Amru Chazal, ilulei shenesakiv Avraham, livdoik ha-sakin, ha-yunishchat Yitzchak. What's going on? It's unbelievable. So had Avraham Avinu not stopped to be boydik the sakin, it would have been all over. The reason Yitzchak was saved, it could be Yitzchak, Yikar L'Chazera, and everything played itself out the way it played itself out. Nichmer Rachamav, it was because there was a pause. There was a pause. Avraham didn't just jump in. Avraham was Vayashkin, Avraham HaBoyker. It's the reason Makdim of the Mitzvahs. He did everything b'srizos, right? But at the same time, when it came tachlis, when it came to actually do the Shechita, Avraham Avinu stopped. Why? It's halacha. You have to be boydik the sakin. There's Amru Chachamim. Ilulei shenesakiv Avraham livdik hasakin hayenishchat Yitzchak. And the at first glance, it's tzarech beer the Medrash. Number one, what does the Medrash mean? And number two, what was the tzad that Avraham was not going to be boydik the sakin? I mean, we had last week va'yikach hasamachelas. We learned from Yitzchak and from the Akedah that it has to be talush, it can't be mechuber, and as it relates to shechitas kachim, that has to be a keli. What's this revusa over here? This halacha that you need to check the sakin? I mean, that was daf yud zayin of a base. We've had it already so many times. We just started learning mesachta schulin. This is elementary. This is shechita 101. So what exactly is the chiddush over here of being boydik the sakin? So he said as follows. He said that the mechaber in hilchas shechita, it's in sim. Yud Ches of Kotten, Yud Zayin. He describes exactly how Bedika Sakin is supposed to happen. Tabach Shaloi Hera Sakin Lechacham Hoyim and Adonoisai. You have to check the Sakin. Says the Mechaber. Vahar Beit Sarech Yishuv Hadas. V'yirashamayim l'bdika sakin. That before you boydik the sakin, you have to have a lot of yishuv adas and a lot of yirashamayim. Haloi tira. I mean, just take a look. Ki yivda godim pamayim shalosh. You can check the sakin sometimes two or three times. V'lo yargish b'pkim adak. And you're not going to notice a little pkim. V'achakach yimtzana. And then you look the third time and you're going to find it. Ki heichin libay b'achreina. And the reason you didn't find it the first time you found the third, because you were a little bit more careful. You looked a little more closely. You had more yishuv hadas and yira shamayim when you did it the third time. Ubechinas chush hamishush kefi kavanas alef. Says the Machaber, whole Musa Shmuz, that the chush hamishush is based on kavanas alef in parentheses. Where does this come from? Rabbeinu Yoyin and Sefer Shari Tshuva. It's not a Musa Shmuz. But either way, that's what the Machaber says. That before this, the Shoichet does his Bdika Saka and the Harbeit Tzarech Yishav Adas. So he said, Haflu Afela. Avraham Avinu is about to shech the son Yitzchak. How much Yishav Adas do you think he was able to have? Zogi Chazal, the fact that Avraham Avinu wasn't just prepared to go ahead and shech the son Yitzchak, but he was able to be Bdik the Sakin. That meant he did it with Yishav, not just Yishav Adas, the Harbeit Tzarech Yishav Adas. Ubechinas Chosham Mishosh Kifikavanos Aleh. Avraham Avinu was locked in. There were no emotions. This is my son, Kachnos Binchas Yechidcha. But rather, he was doing this 100% for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he was able to be Baidik the Sakin, the way the Mechaber says in Yerideya Sivin Yud Ches Siv Kotin Yud Zayin, V'har Beit Tzorech Yishav Adas V'yir HaShamayim L'Bedikas HaSakin Haflo, that's the godless. Of course, this is Matim with the bar from the Kotzker. Everyone asked the Kasha, what was the greatness of the Desayim that came? There were many Jews throughout the generations that were prepared to give their lives. There's many truths. What did the Kotzker say? That the Pasuk says, V'yashkim Avram Babaiker. He woke up early. He said the fact that Avram Avinu was able to sleep the night before, that was the godless. He's about to shech the Yisod. Kenz noch shlov V'yashkim Av. Some Bris, they say they have a raya that V'yashkim doesn't always mean you slept. They have a raya that Shmuel, who's negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's trying to save Shaul's Malchus, so it says he was up the whole night with Hashem, and then Vayashkim Shmuel Baboiker. So I heard this from Rabbi Shmuel Chumashir. He said from a barrel that he said, oh, you see from here, Beforish, that Vayashkim doesn't necessarily mean that. He said from the Kotzka, and he was Doicha the Kotzka from a Pasuk. But either way, but that's the point. The point is that not only did Avraham Avinu do the Akedah, but he was able to do it B'Yishuv Adas. He was able to sleep the night before. He was able to do B'dika Sakin. That's a Madrega, Al Gabi Madrega, in terms of understanding the Nesoyin of the Akedah.